Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune, is with me. Well, I'm in Atlanta. He's in San Diego. The photo collage that producer John Kelly has up at the start of, there it is, if you're watching live, that tells the story. The Padres, two games under, just got swept, three games in San Diego by the lowly Colorado Rockies. In the Padres' defense, Rockies playing really well. I thought Joe Musgrove had a great quote. Didn't see a lot of things they did in that series that bad teams do. Mm-hmm. What I will say is they also split with the Rockies back when they were one of the worst, if not the worst teams right. in Major League Baseball. And I'm sorry, it doesn't matter. So, Ryan, where would you like to start?
Kevin, I want to ask you one question. Is the sky falling?
I don't think it is. I don't know that Mike Schilt, who you are referencing, needed to go there. I don't know that that was anything like what the questions that were being asked called for. They were, look, I'm as critical of myself and then the other media members as anyone in my position is. I cringe sometimes at what my questions sound like. Other times what people need to understand is I'm not trying to win the press conference. I'm trying to get an answer that helps me write better and so that I know what's going on and so I can tell you what's going on. I'm not there to again, win the press conference. Sometimes, though, I'm like, ah, Kevin, that could have been so much better. Mm-hmm. I think about that press conference on Wednesday and it's like, no, Mike, no. I don't know why it was so difficult to sort of acknowledge reality.
This is the second time Mike Schilt has sort of made headlines in a news conference. Both times against the Rockies, right? He was in Denver. He was in Denver the last time. And you said then that sort of when you walked in, you felt that electricity in there, that he was going to jump on something.
Yes.
To talk about what's going on. This, to me, felt different. This seemed like a full-throated defense of his team. You wrote about it in your Padres Daily. He is unflinchingly positive, but would it have killed him to say, hey, the numbers are the numbers, the stats are the stats. We're not playing very, very good right now. Instead, it seems like, no, we got beat by a better team, which, man, the Rockies are bad.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yes, and I think that Mike would say that he did by the whole, I'm not going to alibi. Well, right. And that's cool. And I do try to have grace for people in his position because they have to talk. They're up there to answer questions. So I suppose he would prefer it if he just said, look, yeah, didn't like it. Not going to alibi it. Okay. End of press conference.
Right.
I do want to have some understanding that he is being asked questions and needs to talk, but there just was a whole lot of, I'm not going to alibi. And then alibi.
Yeah.
And again, it is. It's been this way the whole time, and we'll just we'll see. But at some point, and I think that my Padres Daily the other day was a defense or an explanation, I should say. It wasn't a defense so much. If it came off like that, that's fine because it was an explanation, right? Of what Mike Schilt is trying to accomplish. But my end was, at some point, if they suck, you got to say they suck. I didn't write that. You can say suck on the podcast. You don't say that in print.
Right. Right. Well, and again, like I think I don't envy the position that Mike Schilt has found himself in. He replaced Bob Melvin amid widespread reports of disconnects, both between Melvin and GM AJ Preller. Some talk about clubhouse issues involving your star players, your highest paid players. I kind of get why Mike Schilt is so unfailingly positive.
Yes.
But at some point, you had an interesting pivot in your newsletter the other day. While Mike Schilt was telling everybody that the sky wasn't falling, the clubhouse 15 feet away was as sullen and as sky is falling as it had been all year.
Yes, I don't. Yes, the first part, sullen, sky is falling. Did it look like that? Could you infer that? Absolutely. No. But I'm not saying that's what it was. It simply was a contrast to, oh, okay, hey, game goes on. This is another loss, yada, yada. To, wow, this is interesting. Guys still in their uniforms. Guys looking dejected, right? So, yeah, that it was a contrast. And I do believe, and look, when I write stuff like that, I call it educated speculation. Okay. Like I know what's going on. So without quoting people, without telling you exactly how I got it, I spend my life. You can look at that as sad or, hey, great. I spend my life trying to find out what's going on with this team from February through, well, it's really just through September most years. We like to say October, but it's not. So Mike is, first off, let me say this, genuinely a positive person, but also this is purposeful. So I wouldn't say, I've heard some people use the word about these two gatherings with reporters as performative. I would not use that word. Purposeful. He's putting out positivity. But and the reason I say the difference is he is positive in basically everything that he does and the way that he views the world. We need more people like Mike Schill.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I think, you know, again, it is a long season. AJ Preller has proven already this year that he will do what it takes to try to add to the roster. Is this just a long game? Is this just, hey, be positive because, A, history shows that Mike Schilt teams are better in the second half than in the first half. B, as the Padres get, as Manny Machado gets healthier, as Fernando Tatis tries to get unstuck, as Bogarts tries to get unstuck, is the idea just, without saying what we said last year, which was they'll be fine, but is the idea, if you're Mike Schilt, stay as relentlessly positive as possible because this thing is going to turn sooner rather than later?
Yeah.
You want to look like you always believed? Yeah.
Almost, yes. There you go. And I'm saying he does believe that, but also there's really no downside in that because, like, what else are you supposed to do but say that you believe this is going to turn, right?
Right.
And we can go on all day about the evidence that Bogarts will come around, that Machado will come around. There's no guarantee. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, like, right now it's bad. Now I want to talk about, when we talk about the Braves, their stars aren't performing. There's one reason that they're, like, 12 games over 500. I think it's 26 and 14, second place. They're only in second place in the NL East because the Phillies, like, cannot be beat, basically. But their stars are not performing. Olsen, Acuna, Riley. But there's something else going on there that they're winning. So it's not just the Padres is my point. But the fact is they were built around two things. Their stars performing, they're not. They're starting pitching, consistently giving their team a chance to win, and it's not.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think with Schilt, and then we need to move on. There's so much more to talk about here. I think with Schilt, what's interesting, he has to be positive, but he can't utter the words, it's early. Because that was, but I'm serious, though. I mean, because if you look at, you know, Wednesday afternoon would have been the perfect time to say, hey, you know what? It's mid-May, right? It's May 15th. There's a long season ahead. Clearly, whether it is purposeful or in the subconscious, there's nobody in that organization right now who says it's a long season. We've got plenty of time, because saying that last year really blew up in everybody's, didn't it?
Right. Right. And you so interesting. You say that as I was writing, I summed up, I in the Padres Daily, I give you a link that if you want to read, you know, about further about this thing, you can go here. But then I summed up what Mike Schilt said by saying that he says his team's still playing well. Originally, I had in there, his team's still playing well and there's a long season ahead. I went back and looked at the transcript, and whether purposeful or not, Mike Schilt really didn't say there's a long season ahead.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Like, no. Mike Schilt's done a fantastic job of understanding as a manager, and I think we talked about this last time, some pitcher usage stuff, that it's a long season and that, you know, this series plays into this series, this day plays into that day, this month plays into the next month, but trying to win right now and having an urgency. So you are correct.
Right. And it is a fine line between trying to win today's game and wearing guys out over the course of 162 game season. And
sometimes, yeah.
And maybe that's it. I mean, maybe his response is, hey, sometimes you got to give the guys a break. Moving on. To me, the next 10 days are so big for this Padres season. I know, like we just said, it's only mid-May, but you've got four in Atlanta. You then go to Cincinnati. You then come home to play the Yankees. How much do you think will can be learned and gained here, starting with the four games in Atlanta?
Well, here's what's interesting about this. Do you know what these nine games lead, or 10, is it right? 10, because it's four here, three. So do you know what these 10 games lead up to?
What?
Memorial Day. That is the old adage goes, you are what your record says you are on Memorial Day. Is that always true? No. 85% of the time, I think. I've done the research. I've written about it. Go check it out if you want. I'll check it out. Playoff teams are in playoff position on Memorial Day a vast majority of the time. Okay? Mm-hmm. You can talk about like, oh, but this team did this and this team did. Yep, absolutely. But the vast majority. So here they are at two games under, and Memorial Day is not a finish line. It's a marker. But the fact is, Braves, Reds, Yankees, Reds at home, that bandbox of a ballpark. Yeah, it's this is an important stretch. I will be the one to say it now. It's a long season. Right. But yes, there is no doubt that some things got to get more consistent. Got to be more consistent.
Right. And again, you know, if you look at the 2 weeks after the Yankees leave town, you know, the Padres do catch a little bit of a break, right? The Marlins, the Royals.
Royals are hot, man.
The Angels, the Diamondbacks, yep. Oakland, the Mets.
Yep.
You know, things will ease up. But again, this is assuming something that the Padres have not proven yet, which is this is assuming they can beat bad teams.
There you go.
Do they catch a break by playing the Oakland A's? I don't know. To me, this is a team that right now at least seems to play better against good teams than it does against bad teams.
It has seemed like that for a lot. I know that last year's record at the end, they were better against bad teams, but that's because they were beating everyone at the end, right?
Right.
2 out of 3 against the Dodgers in September. They were finally who they were supposed to be. Before that, they were a couple games under 500 against bad teams. And you say, oh, a couple games, does that matter? Well, there's two things I'd like to point out. They missed the playoffs by a couple games. The second thing is, I've done the research, and going back to when I believe 2006, might have been 2005 Padres, made the playoffs. It was 82-80, and they were 500 against teams with losing records that year. Mm-hmm. There has only been, since then, one team in Major League Baseball to make the playoffs without a winning record against losing teams.
Wow.
So just do the out of the 100 plus, what you do is feast on bad teams at the very least, because all you need to do to be a wild card is barely be above 500, okay?
Yeah.
Most years. Now, have a winning record against losing teams, and you get in the tournament, and maybe you turn into the Diamondbacks, and maybe you get even hotter and take it through the World Series.
Right, right, right. Let's talk about the Braves. This is a team that is tough, always tough. And to me, you know, you look at, you know, they're a team that has superstars that are struggling, but they managed to pick it up. And I think I know why, and it's because they can sure as heck pitch. What do you make of their pitching staff so far?
This is mind-boggling. I'm going to put the readers on right here to make sure that I get it all, because Max Fried, tonight's pitcher, facing Matt Waldron. Max Fried, by the way, that can lead to another conversation if you'd like about but Max Fried, in his past four starts, well, the past four starts began, the first of those four, with a complete game shutout against the Marlins, in which he allowed three hits. In his next start, six hitless innings against the Mariners. In his next start, he got rocked. Four runs in seven innings against the Dodgers. In his next start, which is his most recent one, seven hitless innings against the Mets. Unfreaking believable how good this pitcher has been. Like, I had to go and double check Baseball Reference. I knew it was right, but I had to go look elsewhere to make sure that what I was seeing in his game log was correct. That is preposterous. The four runs ruins it in terms of you go, oh, okay, what's his totals during this? Oh, okay, whatever. Oh, he had a three-hit shutout? He did not give up any hits in six innings? He did not give up any hits in seven innings? Like, I mean, that is something. Now, Bryce Elder is starting tomorrow against Yu Darvish. That's on Saturday as we tape this on Friday. 4.91 ERA. Saturday, Ronaldo Lopez, he began the season allowing two runs in four starts over 25 innings. Now, he's had a little bit rougher of a time lately, but had five shutout innings in his last start. On Sunday, by the way, Ronaldo Lopez, Joe Musgrove, almost certainly. On Monday, Dylan Cease, almost certainly, against Chris Sale. Oh, my gosh. No runs in his last 13 innings. That's six starts. So six and then seven innings, no runs. In his past six, he's given up 10 runs in 39 innings. Oh, 10 runs, that sounds like a lot. Do you realize what 39 divided by six is? Six and a third. This guy has gone seven innings in four of his last six starts. That is some pitching. And the reason that they're so good is because of that pitching, and it's despite the fact that their stars, outside of Marcelo Ozuna, is over 1,000 OPS, their stars are not performing well.
Wow. Wow. Two left-handed starting pitchers here in Fried and Sale. That means Padres will rely even more so on their righties. One of the guys who we've been meaning to talk about here for the last couple of weeks is Donovan Solano. What does he bring to this team, and what do you anticipate his role being kind of based on how they've used him so far?
He's like the anti, he's a little younger than both of them, a lot younger than you and Nelson Cruz, but a little younger than Matt Carpenter, but he's like the anti. He's still taking these really good at bats and actually hitting the ball. Like, you never thought you were going to get power out of him, but he's driving the ball all sides of the field. He is like middle of the field. It's like, oh, there's another hit by Donovan Solano over second base. Yeah, that is, you know what? AJ Preller has had a nice run this year of hitting on, you know, some bargains. And that's a good one. Donovan Solano coming off the bench. We're giving you your, you know, righty starter, and especially being able to play third base. Pretty decent there. 36 years old. I mean, good for him, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Is he a popular guy in the clubhouse? It seems like somebody who's done what he's done.
A little while. He spends time talking to players, which is really interesting. He's got an air about him of veteran, of polished. And I think, you know, guys knew who he was and considered him a pro. So I don't have a real read on exactly like how he's fitting in, except this, to know that guys respect him and that I have seen him spend a lot of time, or, you know, I happen to have seen him spending time talking with players, and it appears that sort of conversation that is about baseball.
Right. It's early. He has 13 at bats as a Padre. Yeah. And he is hitting .462, OPS of over 1,000.
Hey, would you like to talk about AJ Preller for a minute?
Yeah.
So I'd like to get your thoughts as someone, if people are just catching for the first time, Ryan Finley, Sports of the Union Tribune, been here a year and a half. Grew up in San Diego, though, knows the Padres, knows Padres history far better than I do, knows it better than most people. So Max Fried was traded, a part of AJ Preller's, you know, initial look. We can talk about AJ Preller and he's done a lot of good things, and with Peter Seidler's money, has been able to create and recreate, and it makes a lot of sense the kind of things he's done. And then you go, shiny objects, Trey Turner, way too soon. Made a bad read on that, took some bad advice. Max Fried, way too soon. You know, like, what is your take as a long time, I won't call you fan now because you now are a journalist at the Union Tribune and all that, but like a long time follower of the Padres, what's your take on this? Like, do you wish he hadn't done all this? Or is that just too easy to poke at him because of these two examples I just gave?
Well, this is what my friends and I talk about, right?
Yes.
You know, what if AJ Preller never made a single trip, right? What if he just drafted and developed? What if that's all he did for the 10 years? Would they?
Or if I could interrupt you for a second, just kept two guys somebody else drafted.
Yes. But to me, that's the ultimate question, right? Has AJ Preller been successful because of things that he has done? Or has he been successful because he's been able to spend Peter Seidler's money? You know, you look at the trades, you know, one of these days, 60 years from now, when AJ Preller is gone, his obituary will read AJ Preller, who traded for Fernando Tatis, right? That will always be the counterpoint, right? And in a way, it's pretty hard to argue with that. But you look at Trey Turner, who is a top 20, 25 player in baseball. You look at Max Fried, who's a top 20, 25 pitcher in baseball. These were guys who were coming. And these were guys who, you know, I think when you ship off a handful of prospects to the Marlins or the Nationals or whatever it is, as somebody who follows the Padres, there's that little worry in the back of your head. You know, what if James Wood turns into, you know, who? Giancarlo Stanton? What if Jairo Iriarte becomes Max Fried? Now, there have been plenty of examples of that not happening, right? Luis Patino was supposed to be a big deal, and he's not. You know, lots of prospects who they've traded away who've just kind of disappeared. Robert Hassel III, Xavier Edwards. I mean, we can go down that list. But these two guys are the guys who got away. And there's a few more.
And there's reasons behind all of them. Okay.
Oh, yeah. The closer.
There were some things by the way, that the Rangers got rid of him too. Similar reasons. There's some reasons there. And good for him that he sort of, you know, made good for himself with Cleveland.
Right. But this is the thing we talk about when the Padres make trades, which is, you know, is chasing a victory today worth mortgaging your future? And I would argue that AJ Preller, for the most part, is batting better than .500 on trades like that. I think the Padres are better because of the trades he's made. But man, You look at getting rid of Fried. You look at getting rid of Trey Turner for Will Myers, who, by the way, turned out to be a good baseball player for a long time with the Padres. And then you look at, I mean, to me, the Clevinger trade and the Austin Nola trades. Those are the ones that you know, sort of make you wonder, right? How much could this team use a Josh Naylor, right? How much could this team use a Ty France right now? Now, there was no DH at the time those deals were made, but, you know, they've traded Andrés Muñoz. I mean, would the Padres have to pay Robert Suarez, who is amazing? He's amazing. But would they have to trade Robert Suarez like an elite closer if they had Andrés Muñoz sitting there for the league minimum?
The only one I'll argue with you on, and that was really good, Ryan. I thought that was fantastic insight as someone who has followed this and who is. I just picture you in group chats with a bunch of psychos.
Yes.
You know, just, yeah. I say that with all due respect. I do, really. But I'll push back on Clevinger. If Clevinger and Lamet elbows had not, you know, had problems, I believe the Padres give the Dodgers a run. And I believe the Padres, as fake as that season was, it was the season you had. And I believe the Padres are World Series contenders that year. It didn't work out, but then I also, it's fair game, but I also can, I have to, as an observer, as someone trying to be fair and get these questions sort of wrap my head around it, I have to say that. I have to go, yeah. But I know what, I believe what he was trying to do was legitimate.
Right, right. And also, too, we can look, I think A.J. Preller for years tried to settle the catcher situation, right? I mean,
yes, now you're being too kind to him, but go on.
For years and years, they went chasing catcher.
Yep.
And, you know, the Francisco Mejia from the Rays, remember, he was a big deal. You know, they had Grandal, and then they traded Grandal. In trying to sort of settle the catcher situation, I think maybe he made moves that in retrospect were not seen as particularly smart.
It was probably a little soon. I mean, look, I could go, and knowing some of the background, I can go and defend Austin Nola trade in terms of, look, the Mariners didn't want to give him up. This guy had been, but you have to then soberly sort of step back and go, but was it too soon? But was he getting older? But was the downside far more than what the possibility of the upside was? Plus, Andrés Muñoz. Now, look, Ty France, I'm a big guy. My prediction was Ty France was MVP of the 2020 team because before the season, is I thought this guy's really good. And it's, you know, at the time, remember, we didn't know. And we thought, oh, every 5 days, some star is going to go down with COVID. And I was like, no, Ty France is going to be healthy. And he's going to be the guy who he's going to be the Jake Cronenworth of that year. Right. Like, mm-hmm. I think highly of Ty France. He's just a guy.
Right.
Okay. And there was no DH. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If there's room on your team for him, you don't trade Ty France. If you want to know the truth, AJ Preller, if there's a guy that he recently is like, man, that was really tough. And I think a lot of these hit him pretty hard because he gets fairly close. He spends a lot of time in the minor leagues. But trading Ty France, he knew could come back to bite him, and he liked Ty France, and Ty France was popular. It's like, you know, okay, fine. But Andrés Muñoz is really going to hurt you, and the downside risk of Austin Nola, I just feel like I've accused AJ, and he denies it. I accuse him of getting drunk, not drunk literally, but like trade drunk. Basically, like 9 trades in 2 days at that deadline, and no one else was dealing. No one else in the major leagues really was buying that COVID trade deadline in August, and he did. And I feel like he got a little carried away. And others have told me that that's the case, but neither here nor there.
And I won't even bring up somebody like a Matt Brash, who, you know, seemed kind of no shrugging. He needs Tommy John, right? So we won't know again. He may disappear for a year and a half and then come back. But this was a guy who was kind of a throw-in, right? Wasn't he in the throw-in for the guy who was the Mariners' closer at the time?
This was Brash was that Altavilla? Was that well, I can't even, this is how bad it was. It was the guy
Taylor Williams.
Williams. There we go. Thank you. People keep calling that the same trade. It was a different trade.
Yeah.
The next day. So I guess you could say it was the same.
Right. Yeah. And again, just to kind of put a bow on this, you know, I think that what makes these Padres interesting, and I said this to Jeff Sanders yesterday, we had a nice long conversation about his Matt Waldron story, which I recommend everybody read, by the way, ran in today's Union Tribune. You know, these Padres are interesting as hell and have been. And AJ Preller, I think the thing that AJ Preller has brought to this franchise is that he has made them, if not successful year in and year out, he's made them interesting as hell. And, you know, whether that's bringing in a Juan Soto were trading for a Luis Arraez, or having, frankly, the guts to put a knuckleballer in your starting rotation. He has given this franchise an identity that, frankly, did not exist outside of Tony Gwynn used to play, you know?
All credit. Absolutely. And I could come on here in two different personas and be the guy who totally totally defends AJ Preller, and I could be come on here and take that ammunition he's given us and be the guy who totally rips him. That is well said by you. And the question now, after a decade, or the question in a couple months, few months after a decade, is, does he still deserve his job? But right. There is no doubt, and I don't say it lightly, and I don't think it should be like just shrugged off, is like, that's huge what he did for this franchise and this fan base.
Yeah.
Whether they acknowledge it or not, or maybe even the media, like he changed a mentality about what the Padres should be.
Yep. I mean, I remember going to games, and again, God bless these guys. It's not their fault, but you know, there were some years there in the navy blue and white Padres when they had the boring uniforms and the boring rosters, and you know, they were trying to make guys like Tommy Medica, who again I love to watch, trying to make guys a thing, you know, because they didn't have superstars, and we were counting down the moments till Hunter Renfroe could get called up and all of those other things. And you know, that it wasn't that long ago, Kevin. You know, it wasn't that long ago. And now,
and it was like, just this is just what we are, right? Like, yeah. You could wish, but even someone like you growing up in the 90s, and you'd be like, I wish we were something different. And the thought is banished from your head almost right away, because, well, that's just not who we are.
No. I mean, again, this was a franchise that had Eric Owen's dirty t-shirt giveaway night, right? This was a franchise that disbanded its 1998 championship team after a vote passed to get them a new stadium. There was no belief for the first 35 years of my life, or 32 years of my life, that they would ever willingly be big players in this market. And the fact that people sit around now and go, well, you know, well, they had Juan Soto, but they couldn't keep Juan Soto, is just so baffling to me as somebody who watched them, you know, just sort of go cheap for years and years and years.
And they still kept. Here's the thing. You can be upset about that with Juan Soto. Okay, whatever. You can say it because it's valid. Fine. You still have a star-studded team.
Yeah. And by the way,
payroll.
Yeah. And trading Juan Soto got you at least part of the way to Dylan Cease, right? You know, trading Juan Soto has opened up some other doors. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that that was necessarily a great idea. I mean, he is a really good player, and we'll talk about him next week when the Yankees come to play. But, you know, they're not just letting guys walk. And I think that they're interesting. And again, there are worse things in the world than watching an interesting baseball team day in and day out. Kevin, we've got to wrap it here. Let me ask you something. Again, informed speculation. Okay? Informed speculation before we go. Big 10 days coming up. This is a team that still has some holes. Do you anticipate a move in the next three series?
I do not. Always scared to say that because – it's AJ Preller. There has been talk with the bullpen, but there's also faith that these guys are going to come around. There's a reason you got Wandy Peralta, pitched a nice inning the other day, and actually hasn't given up a run this month. Had a couple shaky innings, but not that soon. I almost could guarantee you they're not finished before, say, July, sometime in July.
Right.
You know, for sure, almost.
Sure. Sure. This is a team, again, they're buyers. The things I think would have to go pretty far south pretty quickly for them to be seen as sellers as the summer goes on. There's too much riding on AJ Preller, too much riding on Mike Shildt for them to be anything but buyers at the moment.
If it got really bad, though,
yeah,
almost anyone on this team is tradable. And that includes guys with no trade clauses. Now, that's going to take some more work, mm-hmm. but almost anyone is tradable if things got really bad. Now, I'm glad I said that at the 31:45 mark, you know, maybe not as many people listening/watching, because I don't want that to become like a headline or something, but that's just the fact. AJ's always looking at, well, what do I do? What's the backside of what I do?
Right. And if and when the sky starts falling, Kevin, we will have that discussion. How about that?
That'll be fun.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Padres Braves 4-game series, the wraparound series. Don't get confused. Yes. They play Monday. It's very weird in Atlanta. Kevin, stay indoors, stay cool. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.